Brazil was colonized by Portugal right around the time of the Inquisition, a time when many Jews fled Europe for the New World, with over 1,600 settled in Brazil. As early as 1501, the Spanish crown published an edict that, and I quote, "Moors, Jews, heretics, and new Christians are not allowed to go to the Indies." Yet, in 1508, the Bishop of Cuba reported, and I quote, "Practically every ship having arrived in Havana is filled with Hebrews and new Christians," end quote. Some of the escaping Jews sought shelter in Jamaica, the luscious Caribbean island that was then the home to the descendants of Spanish and Portuguese Jews who converted to Roman Catholicism and sought a safe haven from the Inquisition. By 1720, an estimated 20% of residents of the capital, Kingston, were descendants of Spanish Portuguese Jews. As elsewhere in the New World, Jamaica's Jews sought economic opportunities, which included sugarcane plantations and the trade of various commodities, including African slaves. Captaining ships bearing names like Queen Esther, the Prophet Samuel, and the Shield of Abraham, Jewish sailors began roaming the Caribbean in search of riches, sometimes obtained under questionable circumstances. These Jews most frequently attacked Spanish and Portuguese ships, payback for the property confiscation and torture of their brethren perpetrated during the Inquisition. While pirates and buccaneers were outcasts and lawbreakers who attacked ships, raided towns, and robbed people of their money and sometimes their lives, privateers were a legal version of the same. Mercenaries armed with a letter of marque and reprisal from their government, permitting the attack of enemy ports and shipping during military conflict. They engaged in economic warfare and turned over a portion of their booty to their king. In peacetime, they continued their plunder, but flew the Jolly Roger pirate flag in lieu of the British Union Jack or the flag of Free Holland. Probably the most famous of the Caribbean Jewish pirates captured a Spanish treasure fleet off Cuba's bay in 1628. The booty of gold and silver bullion amounted to a staggering $1 billion in today's currency. It was the Dutch West Indies Company's greatest heist in the Caribbean. Another notable Jewish pirate was Yaakov Coriel, who commanded three pirate ships in the Caribbean and studied mysticism under the famous Kabbalist Rabbi Isaac Luria, known as the Holy Ari, and is buried near the Ari's grave. Please read my book 1666, Redemption Through Sin, for more on his influence on modern Kabbalah. Another pirate, whose family also fled Spain in 1492, went by the name Captain Davis, and commanded his own pirate vessel named Jerusalem. A U.S. national park in Louisiana proudly bears the name of Jean Lafitte of New Orleans. The kosher pirate was the inspiration for Johnny Depp in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. According to retired political science professor Edward Bernard Click, and I quote, "Lafitte was a Sephardic Jew, as was his first wife, who was born in the Danish Virgin Islands. In his prime, Lafitte ran not just one pirate sloop, but an entire fleet of them simultaneously."
How many people really realize what happened within the Jewish community in Spain in 1492?
Recently, we've discovered that Christopher Columbus, Cristóbal Colón, was known as a quote-unquote Marrano. Marrano? Mm-hmm. The Marranos are those that were forced to convert to Roman Catholicism, that were Sephardim, and then they were forced to eat pork, which is very unkosher. And then they were called Marrano, pigs, swine. Because you see, the facade of the Spanish Inquisition, what is Inquisition? It comes from the root word to inquire. Mm-hmm. But this was more than inquiring. This was spying and forcing Jews to convert to Roman Catholicism. As early as 1391, there was a major diaspora, meaning scattering, because of the oppression, tortures, burnings at the stake of the Jews before and after conversion. They were being burned. So many of them in 1391 fled to North Africa, parts of Europe, into the Middle East.
What is the Jewish link to the discovery of America? There is speculation that Christopher Columbus may have been Jewish. The astronomical charts that he used on his historic voyage were prepared by Abraham Zacuto, a Jew. It is also known that members of his crew were Jewish. In the same year that Columbus left Spain for the New World, as many as 160,000 Jews were expelled from Spain. In 1492, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain decreed that Spanish Jews convert to Catholicism or leave the country within 4 months. This expulsion brought an abrupt end to the troubled yet illustrious history of Spanish Jewry. During the Spanish Inquisition, no less than 13,000 Jews were condemned to death. Columbus sailed to the New World while the Jews of Spain scattered to foreign lands, Africa, Asia, Holland, England, Turkey, Greece, and Palestine.
For 150 years during the Spanish rule, Jamaica, this island that we think of as a tourism capital, was a homeland for Jews avoiding the threat of the Inquisition. It was a haven in the New World. When the Inquisition finally did threaten, they got in touch with England, they conquered the Jamaica, kicked out the Spanish, and allowed the so-called Portuguese to come out of the closet as Jews. What did the Jews do? They became the merchants of Port Royal. They had been trading here in the New World from the get-go for 150 years with other conversos, secret Jews, in all the different colonies.
Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale University, the third oldest school in the United States, and an institution known for its elitism and its rigid devotion to the past. Members worshipped the goddess of eloquence and glorified pirates. John Kerry faced off against George W. Bush in the 2004 U.S. presidential election, both Bonesmen on opposite sides of the aisle, running against one another for the highest office. Many Americans are amazed that in a democracy of almost 300 million people, the battle for power should be waged among candidates drawn from the same exclusive secret society. One cannot help but to speculate on how power is truly distributed in a world run by a secretive elite, and does it still have a substantial influence today?
In many ways, Donald Trump is like a pirate. He's outside the normal system, actually like a figure out of a movie. In a lot of ways, my entire career has been a little bit like a pirate. One of the really hard questions he's got to weigh on the way to California is, do you really want a two-pirate ticket?
You this week referred to Donald Trump as a pirate. What does that mean?
Well, no, pirates are folks who are outside the regular order, who get things done, who are colorful. Just go watch Pirates of the Caribbean.
While I'm not sure about the context concerning Newt's comments about President Trump being a pirate, I did find it interesting that some genealogists have claimed that President Trump has some Viking ancestry. The word Viking, incidentally, comes from Vikingur, which literally means pirate or raider. Maybe it's time we take up this puzzle in Europe. Won't you please join me? Nikolaus Stralsenberger, known as Germany's most famous pirate, born around 1360 in the Baltic port of Wismar in northern Germany. He was well known for drinking an entire beaker of beer without taking a breath. Originally hired by a noble family in northern Germany in 1392 during a war between Denmark and Sweden to fight the Danish and supply the besieged Swedish capital Stockholm with provisions. He was also known for helping the less fortunate, developing a Robin Hood-like reputation in Germany as he allegedly shared some of his loot with the poor. He was also a leader of the Victor Brothers, an organization of privateers that roamed the North and Baltic Seas in the 14th century, that divided their plunder equally among each other. For this, the Victual Brothers became known as the like dealers, or those who share equally. Queen Margaret, however, was ultimately victorious, and she united Denmark, Norway, and Sweden in the Kalmar Union in 1397. When the services of the Victual Brothers were no longer needed, Stortebeker and the rest of the Brotherhood turned to outright piracy. They became wanted men. Stortebeker and his crew were eventually captured, tried, convicted, and sentenced to death by decapitation. The heads of Stortebeker and his crew were on display on spikes in Hamburg as a warning to anyone thinking about following in their footsteps. After Hamburg's executioner decapitated the entire crew, a member of Hamburg City Council asked the headsman if he was tired from swinging his axe so many times. The executioner, who thought he was a jester, replied that he still had enough energy to behead the entire council if necessary. In response, the council had the headsman put to death as well. In 1878, a cranium with a spike driver through it was discovered during excavations, and many believed at the time that this cranium belonged to the pirate folk hero, and it was displayed in the Museum for Hamburg History in 1922. Our next stop is Museum Island in Berlin. See you there. Now, on display in Berlin, in a room by itself, is this late Bronze Age hat made of thin gold leaf, serving as the external covering on a long conical brimmed headdress, probably of an organic material, like in this image, and is the best preserved specimen among the four known conical golden hats discovered in Europe so far. There are two others that were found in southern Germany, and the last in western France. These hats served as astronomical and calendrical functions belonging to ancient Aryans, famously regarded as sun worshippers and agriculturalists who used these stunning hats to chart all of the phases of the moon and sun. Some research has demonstrated that sowing seeds on the new moon and harvesting on the waning moon greatly improves the quality and abundance of the harvest. The symbols on the golden hats our logarithmic table, which enables the movement of the sun and moon to be calculated in advance. Researchers discovered that the 1,739 sun and half moon symbols decorating the Berlin hat's surface make up a scientific code which corresponds almost exactly to the Metonic cycle discovered by the Greek astronomer Meton in 432 BC, about 500 years after the hat was made, which explains the relationship between the moon and sun years. Knowledge of the sun and moon and their phases would allow them to make long-term empirical astrological observations and could partially explain why their priest class were esteemed with magical status, the hat now most commonly associated with witches or warlocks. Many of the signs of heresy and deemed as witchcraft found in the Inquisition can be related to pagan traditions and rituals concerning an ancient alchemical relationship to nature. That said, in Roman Catholic countries, the courts insisted on burning witches. In Protestant lands, they were mainly hung. The Basque witch trials were probably history's biggest witch hunt, with over 7,000 people accused of witchcraft and put to death for something like defense of the Basque language. Women were called witches in unprecedented numbers, especially those with Rh negative blood type. Originally sliced into the earth by the Orabadia River, this natural tunnel was the epicenter of suspected witchcraft in Zugar Amurdi, the meadow of Akilar, Basque for meadow of the he-goat, and is popularly known as the Cave of the Witches, a spot once used for rituals with bonfires, large orgies, and also supposedly to create storms. Now, every year on summer solstice, a feast and festival takes place in the cave, where this Basque country's cave's history of witchcraft and pagan ritual is not just embraced, but recreated and celebrated each year.
My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an independent anthropologist. Thank you for listening and for subscribing if you've done so. Please share my videos if you enjoy them. I rely on word of mouth. Thank you to my subscribers that have donated to Atlantean Gardens, the nonprofit organization that publishes my books, available on Amazon.com, and makes these educational videos possible. Don't forget to leave a comment. I'll see you next time.